Morning, good morning, good morning. Hopefully all of you didn't have too much trouble with the rain this morning. I was kind of disappointed, but at least it's not snow. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I talked about Transformers in my children's message this morning, and I remember playing with Transformers and, you know, all the other toys, G.I. Joe and whatnot, that were popular when I was a child. But one of my favorite toys, believe it or not, were cardboard boxes. You see, my mother worked for Bell South at the time, and she worked in the data center, and of course they printed numerous reams of paper just constantly. And all these paper things came in boxes, and so there were all these cardboard boxes they needed to get rid of. And my mother would just bring home, you know, a dozen or more at a time, whatever she could fit in her car. And oh, I remember that with such fondness. I used to draw on them and build forts and, you know, build this or build that, little canyons for make-believe rapids, which was, of course, pretty funny because, you know, the thing that she would go and spend a lot of money on in the toy store was sometimes not as interesting as the thing she picked up for free, which would have been otherwise thrown out. And the thing that made those boxes valuable was not their intrinsic worth. It wasn't the design that had gone into them. I mean, I'm sure they functioned very well as cardboard boxes. It wasn't how they were assembled or the various ways they could move. The thing that made those boxes valuable was my imagination. If I didn't have any imagination, they would have just been boxes sitting there and probably would have been pretty boring. Imagination is a very important thing. Last night, I had dinner with some friends, Amelia and I did. We are friends with a chef here in the Dayton area, and we kind of have a little deal where I might do a little bit of home repair work. I installed two fans for them, and in return, he makes us a very nice meal, which is a pretty good bargain in my book. And he made this dish last night for us that was a Napoleon. It was a different layers of stuff. It was a savory dish. And it had marinated sweet potato and marinated eggplant. And it had a three cheese goat and two other cheeses. I don't remember what the names were. Other layers of that. Top layer had sauteed onions and mushrooms. It was on a bed of delicious sauce. He even made Swiss chard taste good. And I've never liked that vegetable ever. Hope I'm working up your appetite for the potluck afterwards. Anyway, the point of this story is not to work up your appetite, but that when we talked about the dish, I was asking him, you know, where this came from. He said, well, you know what? Actually, you don't usually find sweet potato and eggplant together, not a common ingredient combination. He said, but I was working at the restaurant, and when I first got there, we had this giant order of sweet potatoes and this giant order of eggplant that were going bad, and I needed to figure out something to do with them. And so he threw something together, sort of figured out what could be done, and ended up making a dish that was one of his most popular at the restaurant while he was there, and actually won an award. You see, that's invention. Of course, you know, some say necessity is the mother of invention, which it was for him at the time. But it also just goes to show how we can take seemingly normal things and through invention make them something better than what they were. One more story. Most of you are probably familiar with this, but in the history of slavery here in the United States, when Africans were enslaved, they originally came over knowing their native religious customs, and they were taught Christianity. I think one of the reasons they were taught Christianity was that the slave owners felt that they would become more obedient. They would read the sections of the Bible that talked about slaves obeying their masters and perhaps follow that. But what ended up happening was they read the section about Exodus. They read the section about how the Jews were enslaved by the Egyptians and how God was with the Jews and how God led them to freedom, how God protected them, how they were God's people and therefore would be freed. Now, the interesting part is that they just didn't look at it and say, well, this is a story about Jews in Egypt that happened a long time ago. They looked at it and they said, this is us. This is our story right here in the Bible. Here we are. It is God talking about us. And it was an inspiration for them. Christianity did not become a tool of oppression. It became a tool of freedom. It gave them the inspiration to know that this was not right, that God would free them, that they were in their own exodus. You see, that is interpretation. It's taking a passage of Scripture and looking at it and saying, what does this mean for me today? So I've provided three stories for you. One about imagination, one about invention, and one about interpretation. And my argument is all three of these things are holy. All three of these things are inspired by God. The inventor of the laser just celebrated its 50th anniversary, perhaps one of the most monumental technological discoveries, certainly among the top 10. He all of a sudden was sitting one day and it just popped into his head how it might work. And he to this day believes that it was an inspiration from the divine, that it was an inspiration from God. He talked to artists that believe that somehow there's some spirit, some God, the divine, moving in them, inspiring them. You look to, of course, the Greek tradition of the muses. Invention, inspiration, all these things where we have something that seems to be nothing, something that seems to be normal, something that we've been told can only be used in a particular way. And by the miraculous intervention of God, we see that it can be used anew, that it can be different, that it can be a wonderful thing that we've never known before. Now, this does have to do with our scripture. Nehemiah is a book that is originally part of the book of Ezra, part of the historical books, talks about the history of Israel, and it talks about the priest Ezra reading the law, which would have been the Torah at the time, first five books, something similar to that. And it talks about Ezra translating it to the people, which is understood because they didn't all know Hebrew in the way that it was written. Maybe they might know a couple things. It would have been similar to the Middle Ages where the Bible was in Latin. Of course, the people didn't speak Latin. And it says it translates it, which makes sense. But the other thing it says is that Ezra translated and explained it. Other translations of that word have Ezra translated it and they interpreted it. You see, there's this piece that is not just translation. There's this piece that's interpretation, that is explaining, that is understanding, that this is a tradition that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. You see, even then, they understood that these stories, these writings, need to be looked at again, need to be explained to the people of the day, need to be interpreted in a way that can make them new and meaningful for our lives. Just as the slaves in America reinterpreted the story of the slaves in Egypt. So these are never just simple words on a page that we can read over and just understand the basic meaning. No, these are holy, inspired words, and it is a holy process to think and be with the Spirit and to think about how they can be reinterpreted for our lives. How can we live these things out? In the Catholic tradition, historically, it was believed that there were actually four meanings to any piece of Scripture. The literal is only the first. After that, there is a spiritual meaning. There is a meaning of how it related to the church. You see, even in the Catholic tradition, there's always been an understanding of How can this relate to us in different ways? Lastly, I'll just speak about our passage from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, oh man, I could go on for hours about this passage. I'll try not to. This passage about the body of Christ. It's so brilliant. You see, Paul is dealing with the church of Corinth, the church that perhaps he started. And Corinth, I say, is kind of like Vegas. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth, if you know what I mean. It was a nouveau riche, new money sort of town. It was on the little part of Greece that connects to water bodies. So a lot of trade went on. A lot of newly wealthy Roman citizens that took their plunder from the Roman wars were given land there to settle. And so there was a lot going on. It was kind of like Vegas. And you had a lot of people that were trying to show each other up, trying to show that they were more special or better than another person. And Paul knows this. And Paul writes this passage to talk about how we are all equal. We are all different. Some less, some more. But we are all equal and important in the body of Christ. He uses these wonderful metaphors. You know, if we were all ear, then we couldn't speak. If we were all mouth, we couldn't hear. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. You see, no matter how lowly somebody might see, as he says, whether you are slave or free, no matter how tied to the tradition you might think that you are, whether you're Jew or Gentile, that you are important. You are part of this one body of Christ. And you all have something to offer. And I think this is incredibly important to remember. You see, we all have something to offer when it comes to interpreting Scripture, when it comes to imagination, when it comes to invention. We can't say who will be the person that will help us understand this. Who will be the person that will invent the next thing that helps people around the world? Who will be the person that imagines this great beauty that we have never seen before? We don't know who those people are. We can't say they will come from the top of society. We can't say that they will come from this certain demographic. Time and time again, we have shown that imagination, invention, interpretation are all gifts given by God. All gifts given to people, regardless of where they come from, regardless of how much money they have, regardless of how smart or educated they seem to be. We all have our time in which we are just as important as everyone else around us. And lastly, it's not about us. We are just as important as everyone else around us, but we must remember that we are one body. As Paul points out in the body of Christ, when one of us suffers, all of us suffers. When one of us is happy, all of us is happy. You see, Paul goes one step beyond saying that we're all equal in God's eyes. You know, that we're all God's favorite children, so to speak. He goes one step beyond that. He says, not only are we all important, but we are all tied to each other in the body of Christ. We cannot simply walk away and expect that it won't affect others. We can't just look at somebody else and think that it has nothing to do with us. You see, it does. And if we believe in the one body of Christ, we should be moved to help those that suffer. We should be moved to work together as a people, because individually we can only achieve so much, but together we can achieve great things. And if we work together for a better world, for ushering in the kingdom of God, then little by little we can make it possible, even if the task itself seems so big. Little by little, through new interpretation, new invention, new imagination, we can make it happen. You see, interpretation, imagination, invention, these are all holy things, all gifts of God given to us. We should never think that something is just only to be used for what the more obvious reason would be. We should never think that something is just plain or somebody is just plain and will never accomplish anything or be useful. We should always look for those gifts from God to transform us, to transform our world, to transform everything around us into something new and beautiful that we never expected was possible. This is the gift of God. This is the power of the body of Christ. May we all be one in it, and may we all find peace and love in it. Amen.